Thank you, Vicki. Good morning. Man, I hope everybody is doing well. Got me a little echo going on up here. There's always something good in the world. Now, look around, give somebody a wave and say, hey, man, I'm glad you're here today and you're all looking good. Don't forget the choir. I know sometimes I feel a little left out up here, but you know, just keep them on your heart as well. For those of you that are online, say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who's there on the thread with you. And we welcome you on board as well. We're so glad to have this opportunity to be able to come together. Like I say, hopefully the wind didn't distinguish your power at your house. It's been kind of off and on and flashing around in different places. It was at my house today. I noticed the stoplights out here were flashing. So I'm just going to go ahead and add a public safety announcement. If those lights are flashing, treat it like a four-way stop, okay? Because apparently the majority of people do not get that. You know, they don't understand that concept for some reason. So if when you leave here, if you're actually, you know, heading towards Greensboro and you get to that stoplight down there and it's flashing, stop. We've done enough funerals lately. We don't need to do any more. I don't want it to be yours, so be sure to take care. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, we come to you. We're grateful. We're thankful for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, we realize that that even though we go through some difficulties in life, Lord, we go through some valleys and we find ourselves on some peaks at times as well. But Lord, each and everything, you have numbered each and everything you have ordered in our lives, and there is a reason why these things happen. There's a reason why they take place. And Father, we're grateful that no matter what takes place, you know what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we know that there's been a lot of loss in our church family lately and directly related. Father, I pray that you would provide that peace, that hope, and that comfort that can come only through you. So as we gather here today, Lord, this morning, I pray that you would help us to truly have our hearts and our minds set upon you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to brush aside the cares of the day and that we, for these few moments, would concentrate upon you, that we might truly hear what the Spirit would say to us. For, Lord, we know that you have a word for us. Help us to walk in your path and to hear that word today. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to you. As always, we ask if there are those who don't know you, that today would be the day that there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that one soul. So Father, bless our time as only you can. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, once again, I want to just mention a few things as we prepare to depart for Cuba. I mentioned last week, one of the projects that we have is working with the church there at Ducaro, where we have those 41 kids that they're tended to every day. The other thing I've mentioned as well is that we support the annual salary for the Awana missionary, and then as well we support the retirement center over there. One of the latest reports that I got from this past week when it comes to Cuba is that power is currently, remember, we were having what they called them rolling power outages last time, where they would just shut power off in certain areas. Well, since we were there last year, they had some more infrastructure issues. So right now, the power is basically off 20 out of 24 hours each day. So we'll just call it, your missionaries are going to be doing some primitive camping. Let's just say it like that. So those are the conditions that they are trying to put up with. One of the things that we're doing per requested by the retirement center that we go there to do maintenance on is with the power being out, particularly at night. this retirement center is not in the city where there's any sort of city lighting. And of course, they don't have any lighting once the power is out. So we have been requested, and they have been ordered and arrived at my house yesterday. They are actually solar street lights that are about 18 inches long, a foot wide, and about 3.5 inches thick. We'll be taking 8 of those, and they are solar operated so that they will charge during the day. And they're LED, so they don't take that much power, but that will provide some light for the senior citizens of the retirement center to be able to move around safely. Now, I'm not saying they do a whole lot of moving around, but when it gets dark, it gets dark. But at any rate, you don't want them tripping over anything or what have you. So keep it in mind that we are only allowed 2 bags each. Now, thank goodness one of our team members, and I think I mentioned this last year, one of our team members is actually a platinum, whatever they call it, platinum with American Airlines. So instead of having to pay $25 or $30 for that first bag, the second bag was going to be $200, $200 a piece, and they're only up to 50 pounds each. But by everybody putting their reservation under Mike Stone's platinum thing, we get both of those bags for free. So that actually saved, more than $800 just on luggage that could be used for ministry. So we try to pack very light for ourselves. All the stuff that we take over there generally stays over there, whether it's clothing, whatever it may be. We try to leave that over there for them to use. We do plan to work with some pastors over there. The week that we are there is their Pastor Appreciation Week. It always seems to run that first week when we go there. And I've told you the stories about the one pastor that we went way out to be able to see, who had pretty much been up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he just wept. You know, we gave him a Bible and just said, "We just want you to know that we appreciate you." And he was just weeping because he told us about the evening that he had had feeling sorry for himself, and the fact that he said, "Lord, I know that you care." He says, "I just want to know that somebody else cares." And then all of a sudden he said, "We showed up." Yeah, I said, "We're a ragtag bunch, buddy, but we love you." And the Lord sent us from North Carolina to lend some encouragement to you. So those are some of the opportunities that we have along the way. To be able to not only support the Senior Adult Center where we go, but to do ministry. I do plan to visit the Pastor Joelkus's church once we get there. That is the one that effectively, I lose track of time. It was either last year or year before last. I think it was year before last. We were able to change all of that money into U.S. currency that they needed to purchase that particular place that's going to be a church. And it was just amazing how God worked in that situation. He continues to do that. We got over there at the time, we could not spend U.S. dollars. And they had done away with what they call the Cuban convertible, or the CUC. So we didn't know how we were going to be able to do what we did. then I heard Pastor Joe Welkus' story, where we had been supporting this as well, but for 7 years they had been working on getting this piece of property to be able to put the church. It's a very strategic place. Pastor Joelkus had been led to that. The fellow said that he would sell it, but he wanted his payment in U.S. dollars. So through teams from North Carolina Baptist that had gone in there, we supported that effort in U.S. dollars, and after 7 years, they finally had enough to do it. Well, the economy started getting shaky, so Pastor Joelkus, you know, went to purchase the property, and with the shaky economy, the guy said he didn't want his payment in U.S. dollars anymore. He wanted it in Cuban pesos, which that was pretty easy at that time. He got all the U.S. dollars converted to Cuban pesos, but they were going to an electronic or a digital currency, and they call it an MLC card. So when he changed all the money, it went on an MLC card. So he went to give the guy the MLC card. The economy had gotten a little bit better, and so he said, "No," he said, "I think I want my money in U.S. dollars now." Which it took 7 years to be able to do that, and they don't have a way to convert. If they have U.S. dollars, it's a good thing. If they don't, it's a very difficult thing to get. And, of course, we were over there with our money and had no way to spend it. So for that particular week, I asked Pastor Joelkus, I said, "Do you trust me?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you know I trust you." I said, "Pastor Donis, do you trust me?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I trust you." And I said, "Well, Joelkus, give Pastor Donis your MLC card, and I'll see you next Thursday, or Wednesday or Thursday." He handed him the card. So everywhere we went and everything that we did, all the things that we needed to do, we swiped Pastor Joelkus's MLC card. And then before we got ready to leave, Pastor Donis sat down, figured up what all that would be in U.S. dollars. And then before we left, we went and were able to pay him back for what we spent but we paid him back in the U.S. dollars, which they needed, which was enough for him to go and purchase the property and get the church. I think last year we went out to see that. I think I may have had a picture there last week of that particular property, but we're going to look and check on progress there along the way. And I said all that to say this: God knows what he's doing. Even when it doesn't look like there's a way, he has a way, and he takes care of it. We just have to be careful to pay attention to what God's got going on right in front of us. And you got to do it quickly when you're going for a mission trip like that, because it's only 7 days. So God's going to move real quick, and we have to be observant to what it is that he's doing and what he wants us to do for his honor and for his glory. So keep our guys in mind in your prayers. By the way, by way of announcement as well, we're going to, if it doesn't snow us out, we're going to do a packing party this coming Thursday evening. So I know that the ladies have done a lot of things for us to pack for the kids to go over there for those 41 kids at the school. I know there's some medical supplies that we're going to be taking over there. We're going to try to go ahead and get all that pre-packed, because we're going to check our bags all the way through to Cuba, even though we have to spend a night in Miami on the way down. We'll just take a carry-on and spend the night, and then we'll be back at the airport around 5 in the morning on that Friday morning to fly out. We will actually leave on a Thursday, because we've got the one night in Miami before we head out, and then coming back, we'll come all the way back through, even though we'll spend about 7 or 8 hours in the Miami airport before making it back here to Greensboro. So I said all that to let you know that those are just a couple of the items that you all support. Once again, all of our guys have raised their support or paid their way outside of what Central Baptist Church does, but we give Central Baptist Church the opportunity to fund the ministry that goes on over there. And like I say, it is a very, very aggressive budget, but it's that gift that keeps on giving the whole year long. We go over there to support the Nationals so that ministry can continue to go forward. And in some ways, like I say, you're paying an annual salary for a missionary. You are bringing in supplies. Literally, food is very, very scarce right now. That is one of the biggest issues that they're having, is being able to supply food. So we have supported the children at the school, at the church in Ducaro, as well as the retirement center, to be able to just have a meal at least once a day. Now, like I say, it's not a meal like you're thinking about, but to be able to provide something for them, you all have been very instrumental in. So I say all that to say, this is the time when we can support those efforts that will last all through the year. We are currently receiving the Cuba mission offering. So a little bit later on, at the end of our service, when the ushers come by, if the Lord so leads, we're asking you to just make a contribution to the Cuba trip. If you put it in an envelope, I think there's some in the pews behind you. If not, holler at somebody, we'll get you one. Stick it in there, and all you have to do is write Cuba on it, and it will go in the correct and in the proper place. So keep that in mind. It's a very aggressive budget, but we can only do with what we have. So we'll have to look at what we're able to be able to take from here financially, and determine what ministries we're going to be able to support. Prayerfully, we will be able to support and continue all the ministries that we have in the past, but that is dependent upon what the Lord puts on our hearts and the way that and what he sends us with by which to be able to work with. So keep that in your prayers. Please participate with us. I can't wait till one of these days in heaven, one of those little kids comes up and gives you a little tug on your robe and says, "Hey, I want you to know I'm here today because of you. Because you know what? My family knew that they couldn't feed us. So they enrolled me in the school with the church at Ducaro, where I got a meal every day. But not only did I get a meal, I got a spiritual meal, because they told me about Jesus, and I'm here today because of what you gave during your time at Central Baptist Church." I believe those things are going to happen, and we've seen incredible work being done over there throughout the years, and we just pray that it continues to do so. And we thank the Lord for allowing us to be a small part of that. Please participate with us. Like I say, we don't have but maybe another week or so before we need to have everything we need to have, because Mari's got to go to the bank. She's got to convert it all to money, and we have to carry it with us over there, because you can't Western Union, you can't do any of that. So Mari knows how to do it. I'm confused. She just hands me this and says, this goes here and this goes there, and writes it on the envelope, and I'm pretty good with following directions. So at any rate, please help us out, contribute, and we look forward to telling you the great things that God will have done when we get back from Cuba. Brad's going to come lead us as we continue to worship our Lord today.
Please stand as we sing. Good morning. Hymn number 15, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Please do so, the Lord is sovereign, so my faith is.
take this moment while Vicky's over, heading back over there. We are starting some new music today. Love to have people coming back to choir or to choir. If you want to just test it, check it out. We'll be here at 4:45 this afternoon in the sanctuary. Please join me at 3:37. I know whom I have believing.
And this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Acts chapter 8. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Over the at least maybe next couple weeks, we may spend a little bit of time over here in Acts chapter 8. And particularly where we're going to look at today, I want you to think just for a moment about that word persecution. We have heard over time, we have heard through the Word of God, and even heard in our day and age about persecution. And when I'm saying persecution, I'm not talking about your general run-of-the-mill persecution, that somebody said something because I was a believer and they said something that hurt my feelings. I mean, I think all of us, I hope each and every one of you have had your feelings hurt at some point because you were a Christian and somebody didn't like that. That means that they knew or saw your life or how you lived your life under Christian values, and maybe you got made fun of. And that just crushes our little feelings, doesn't it? You know, we get to that point where we just get so sad because somebody broke my heart because I'm a believer. Now, what am I going to do? Am I going to crawl into a shell and not be a believer anymore and not let anybody know? And you know the little kids song that we've sung for many, many years. This little light of mine. Yeah, you've heard me do this before. I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, hide it under a bushel. Nope. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, so that the whole world may see. Now, let me tell you that when you do that, people are going to notice it. Now, at what extent will they go to persecute you? Now, I want to tell you this, that back in the days of the Word of God, and that's, you know, we're going to kind of deal with a passage leading into that today, there was some serious persecution. And I'm not talking about where somebody got their feelings hurt because somebody made fun of them for being a Christian. We are talking about life or death situations. We are talking about situations where people had spent time in prison. And I want you to know this and know it well. That is happening in places across this world today. There are still people who are serving time in prison because they follow Jesus. There are still people who are losing their lives as martyrs for the cause of Christ. Now, I simply ask you, if you were ever put into those shoes, how would you do? Now, that's probably not a fair question. And the reason it's not is because none of us really know what we would do until we find ourselves in a situation like that. Would you renounce your Christianity in the face of death? Would you turn your back on Jesus? You know, I sit back and wonder. And like I say, most of us probably would have a little trouble answering that question with all honesty and sincerity, because you'd see, you know, I really don't know what I would do in a situation like that. Well, today in our passages, we're going to be coming out of essentially one of God's children that was persecuted unto death, and he was martyred. And I'll highlight that in just a minute, but look with me if you would at our scripture today, which is Acts chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were not scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would just fill our hearts with every ounce of who you are. Lord, I pray that we would listen to your Spirit today, that, Father, you would prepare our hearts and minds, not only for the message that you have for us, but, Father, also for the mission that you have for us. So, Lord, right now, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would be lifted up as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at this particular passage, one of the things that we need to see is what was the immediate context that led us to what our scripture text was today? And what was it that led to the scatter of the church in Jerusalem? Well, essentially what happened was Stephen had just been stoned to death. And he had been stoned to death because he had been out and he had been preaching the word. And what, you know, what was taking place was that that Saul, there was this guy named Saul, and obviously most of you already know where this is going because you know the context of the story as we go forward. But Saul had a problem with those who were believers. He didn't particularly care for them. Now, I want you to know something about Saul. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and give you tidbits of it because this is the Saul that later became Paul, who also is probably or arguably one of the best pastors and evangelists that have ever walked the face of the planet. But he wasn't always that way. Yet, when in this particular time and when Stephen was stoned, I call it a trigger. Have you ever noticed, I noticed this as a police officer, that what happened is you would go to a place and where tempers would run high, you had to defuse the situation. Because if you did not defuse the situation, what happens when you light a fuse? You might light a fuse on a stick of dynamite and stand there and look at it, and it's not bothering you while it's sitting there going, the problem comes when the fuse hits the dynamite, correct? Boom. Same happens in situations. I believe the same happened in the situation with Stephen. Yeah, there were those who made accusations against Stephen for preaching the gospel, and he adhered to them, remember? Yeah, matter of fact, he said, yep, that's what I am. I'm a preacher. I believe in Christ. I believe in the way as it is referred to in his time. And what happened was that just made people madder. And in other words, nothing diffused the situation. In fact, it became more explosive because what happened was all of a sudden when Stephen confessed to what he was doing and didn't turn and didn't run and didn't hide, they stoned him to death. And that was the point of the explosion. They began to pick up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. Now, notice what I said in this particular passage, that as it starts off in verse 1, it says Saul was consenting to his death, that being the death of Stephen. He was okay with it. He was like, cool, man, we need to get rid of this guy. He's out there preaching Jesus. And notice what the verse 5 says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church that was at Jerusalem. All of a sudden, it wasn't, let's just take care of Stephen. Let's just take care of all the rest of them. Let's persecute them. Let's make life hard on them. Let's rough them up. Let's even take their lives. Could you imagine living in that time? Could you imagine what it would be like if that was taking place right now? That there were people outside, a mob of people, watching you in here. If there was that mob of people that were so upset that they became violent against you that they would cause you bodily hurt or harm. Now that seems impossible to us living in America today, but I'm telling you and reminding you again, those things are taking place in this world today, even as we speak. What would you do? Stephen said, yep, I'm a believer. And he was martyred for it. Martyred's a fancy way of saying he died for what he believed and what he believed in. Are we in those situations? And then it got even worse because what took place was once they stoned Stephen, when you start an act like that, you don't stop it. I can imagine how out of control it got. It took one person throwing the first stone. And then the rest of them jumped on the bandwagon and they began to stone him as well. And then they said, why should we stop with Stephen? Let's just go get all of the church people. That was okay. That was good. We have eradicated Stephen's witness to people. Let's just go eradicate everybody's witness to the whole world. Could you imagine what that must have been like living in that time? Well, guess what it did? According to what the scriptures tell us, it caused the church to what? scatter and spread them out. Now, that would sound horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, something that you had worked for all of your life. Just think about if that happened in this place today. Now, I'm not going to sit there and call you chicken. Let's just say they came in and, you know, they said, Pastor Roy, look, we're not digging what you're doing here. You can renounce Jesus or that's it. And all of a sudden they start pointing weapons in your way. And let's just say all of a sudden I said, well, coming home, I will not do it. Boom. And you all witnessed it. You watched it. Y'all would probably be making new doors in the facility. Now, I'm not calling you chicken. You would probably run out, or maybe if you heard it happening down the street, you said, I'm gonna go somewhere else. I'm gonna extend. I'm not saying there's a problem with that, and here's why. Because it says that the church became scattered, but when the church became scattered, what happened? More people heard the word of God. Very often, and pay careful attention to this, very often the things that seem so tough for us to understand are the very agents that God uses to bring about his will. I watched a church many years ago become scattered. We use terms like it was a church that split. Now, obviously, that's not something that you would, you know, it's sad when those things happen. But let me tell you what happened. That church was full of wonderful people who loved to tell the story, the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, the gospel spread out because they spread out. You ever heard that divide and conquer? Why do you think that Paul, which is the guy we're talking about at this point, he's still Saul, why do you think he went to places where there were harbors and that ships would come in and he would present the gospel? The reason why was because as he would reach someone with the gospel message of Christ, they would get on a ship, sail away, and they would begin to spread the good news all over the place. Do you realize that if the apostles hadn't have done their job, you and I wouldn't be here today? They were diligent, and even in the face of persecution, and often God does some of the greatest things for the cause of the gospel in the midst of persecution. The immediate context of this passage we're dealing with today was that the church in Jerusalem was scattered because of the stoning of Stephen. It says in verse 1, on that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And it also says that Saul approved Stephen's death. He was all for it. He was sitting there going, yeah. Now, I want to tell you something about Saul. I hated that was what he was doing. I hated that he was a Christian persecutor. But let me tell you what Saul was. Saul was one of those people that you didn't have to guess about where he stood. And guess what else he was? He was sincere. He believed in his cause. He believed in the cause of getting rid of Christian people. And this event marks a significant turning point for the early church. The persecution forced the believers out of their comfort zones. It forced them out of Jerusalem, prompting them to spread the gospel beyond the city. Can you see how God worked in that? And could you imagine if you were part of that particular church, we're going to be crying because now we don't have the church anymore. Now we don't have the programs anymore. And now we don't have this. And God said, you know what? I'm not about programs. I'm about the gospel message. I'm not about just coming together. There's a reason. This should be the training ground so that we can carry the gospel message out into the mission field with us. Now, let me be very clear about something. Where is the mission field? Let me tell you where it is. It's right outside these doors. It's every time you step into the parking lot. It's every time you go out to lunch at that restaurant. It's every time you greet that neighbor. It's every time that you go help out at Camp Carefree. It's every time you go to Cuba. It's everywhere you go, you are carrying the life-saving message of Jesus Christ with you. The question is, do we tuck it inside? Or do we let people know? See, when faced with hardship or opposition, we may also find opportunities to advance God's kingdom in new territories or in new context. And you know what? That should be exciting. That should excite us. Having an opportunity, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, to share the gospel message. We've said it many, many times. The church is not about this building. The church is about her people. The church is about where we go, what we do, what we say, who we interact with. So who was scattered as a result of the persecution in Jerusalem? It says all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. It's interesting. See, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem while the believers were dispersed. This movement was critical for the spread of the gospel to the regions that were beyond Jerusalem. It had to happen. The scattering of believers fulfilled Jesus' commandment in Acts 1:8, and you've heard it before. Remember where I said they went? They went from Jerusalem out into Judea and Samaria. Is it ringing a bell? It says that they, what is it that the Lord gives us when he talks about the Great Commission to carry the gospel? And he says, you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You've heard that, haven't you? Tell me you have. You've heard it from me. Jerusalem being right here at home, Samaria just outside, Judea, the other regions, and the uttermost parts of the world. That was a fulfillment of that prophecy of Acts chapter 1 to be able to be spread out. Jesus knew what was going on the whole time. And too many times we look at our circumstances and situations as the end when Jesus looks at them as the beginning of a new chapter or the beginning of a new era or moving us to another place to serve him. But we got to cooperate with him. See, we can be instruments of God's plan even when circumstances compel us to move. We should look for ministry opportunities wherever we find ourselves. You know where the greatest mission field for you today is? Wherever you are. It might be Wendy's. Yeah, it may be in your neighborhood. It may be in your car when someone cuts you off. It may be the people that you're sitting with right now. You know, the very interesting part about it is we're good at playing a facade. I will guarantee you that there are people who have walked into my presence, whether here, whether online, whatever it is, that you got a very heavy heart. You got a bad attitude. Yeah, you are just done with life and you're done with people. Remember when I talked about that dynamite and that fuse? Listen, if the Lord's pointed that out, you need to do this. Psst. Through the Spirit, put it out. And realize that sometimes when God moves us, every time he moves us, it's his will. Every time he sends us into a new area, it is something different. You know what's really interesting about when you go on a mission trip? You will never be doing what you think you're going to be doing. Never. You will find yourself in places doing things that you didn't think you'd be doing. I mean, I've found myself at times, and I know that y'all know that this is just a big deal for me. You know, I've gone to visit somewhere and wound up preaching in Cuba. I wasn't planning on doing that. And all of a sudden, you know, we're singing and having a good old time. And they say, and the translator says, well, come on. I'm like, where are we going? And he goes, well, you should preach. You didn't tell me that. Do you think I just sat down? No, but a lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, you tell them to sing one or two more praise songs while me and God get busy over here. And then there's been times when I've showed up to preach going, I got this, man. I'm on the schedule. I know what I'm doing. And the Lord changed it right before I got up there. You got to be willing to be that way with the Lord in his leadership and his guidance and wherever he wants you to be and in wherever he wants you to do. And here's another thing that might just blow your mind. It's not always going to be something you like. It's not always going to be someplace you like. You know what? I do not like being hot. I'm one of those hot individuals. I mean, I'll sweat up here. Y'all, you'd be sitting out there with those afghans around you, and I'm up here sweating. You put me outside in a tropical climate under a lean-to, and it's 90 degrees. That is not comfortable for me. And then they said, oh, later on, you're going to preach at a church that has conditioned air. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, conditioned air means they took some of them oscillating fans and they stuck them up on the wall. They go, and ain't not a one of them blows towards a preacher. Not a one. That's not comfortable for me. But do you think I'm going to sit back and say, well, Lord, I'm just not going back to Cuba because they don't have air conditioning? Lord, if you'll send me to the churches that have better air conditioning, then I'll go. Lord said, now you don't get it. I didn't ask you, and I didn't ask your opinion. This is where you're going. This is what you're doing. And oh, by the way, you might as well wad up that paper in your pocket because that's not what you're going to preach on either. He does those things. Do we cooperate with it? We can be instruments of God's plan even when the circumstances compel us to move somewhere else or do something different. We should look for those opportunities. You know, what actions did Saul take during the persecution? Well, Saul began to destroy the church. Now get this. Now remember what I said a minute ago. What would you do if people were standing around here? Saul began going from house to house, dragging off both men and women to prison. Wow. We don't see that in America, do we? Saul was on his game. Could you imagine this guy? And he was living life large. He was loving it. He believed he was doing the right thing with what he was doing. Saul was zealous. I like that word. Some of your Bibles may have that in there. Saul was zealous in his efforts to eradicate, completely get rid of the early Christian movement. And not only that, it created deep hostility towards believers. Does that sound familiar? You know what? There are some deep hostility towards believers by those who are not believers in this day and age. And you know what we're called to do when we deal with them? What are we called to do? Body of Christ, we are called to love them. What? Yeah, what the word says, love those who despitefully persecute you. That stings, doesn't it? That is not always easy to do. Somebody gonna drag me out of here? I'll put it to you this way. I'm not gonna show up in prison looking like I'm looking now. Because I'm going to put up a fight. I'm probably going to lose, but I'll be sitting there, you know, black and bleeding in prison going, oh, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have just gone because it's so, yeah, if I wind up in jail, somebody in jail needs to hear about Jesus. Do you think about it that way? Look at Paul and Silas. Isn't that what happened to them? Look at what they went through. They were actually beaten and put into prison. All because a Philippian jailer needed Jesus. Do we look for what God's got in store for us in the midst of our circumstances and situations? Saul's actions highlight the extent of religious zealotry against the early church and how this zealotry was initially misguided. Notice how I got me a new word, zealotry. We'll use it for you. It's interesting when you look at it. In his fervor, he later became instrumental for Christianity after his conversion. And we're going to talk about that. Those are some sermons that we go as we go into the future. But as we think about where we are today, see, we should consider how God might redeem aspects of our own character and our own strengths or past for his purpose, just as he did with Saul. What does he want to do with you? How did those who were scattered respond? I think that's a very important question as well. Those that were scattered, how did they respond to the persecution? You ready for this? And then I'm going to shut it down. You know how they responded? They preached the word wherever they went. It is so ironic that in the midst of persecution or potential persecution, what the Holy Spirit will do with you, what the Holy Spirit will do for you. You know, I've experienced that on some level. As we first started making these mission trips over there, they said, you know, they have this thing called the CDR. And it's really something like you'd see on a James Bond movie where you'll be followed around. They will watch what you are doing. They will know where you are. You don't report to them, but they're going to follow you. And when we first started going, the first time I ever preached over there, they said, well, yeah, you realize that if you preach tonight and the CDR does a raid, that you could go to prison for that. Yeah. I said, yeah, I realize that. And then Jose said, does that bother you? I said, well, I'm not looking to sign up to go to a Cuban prison, but no, God called me over here to preach the gospel, so that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm not going to be foolish in my attempt. I'm not going to go up on the roof with a bullhorn and start hollering it out to grab their attention, but we'll come together as we do in the church, and we will preach the gospel, and we will see people come to know Jesus. And when you find yourself in the midst of persecution, you will also find yourself in the middle of the Holy Spirit's strength to get done what God wants done. And here's the cool part. It will be with peace in your heart and with peace in your mind. You know, the interesting part was that night when I preached at that church, I wasn't sitting there going, are they outside? No, I just preached with all the heart that God gave me, knowing that whatever was going to happen was part of his purpose and was part of his plan. I have also seen God do some incredible things by blinding people right in front of me to the things that we were trying to get in there for ministry that shouldn't have gone in, that got in. And it was huge. I mean, literally, I'm thinking to myself, you don't see this stuff. And I really don't believe they did. Why do I not believe they did? Because I believe that the Spirit had blinded them because the Spirit had a plan. How neat is that? When they were scattered, what did they do? Did they give up? No. What did they do? They preached the word everywhere that they went. It doesn't require a preacher to do that. It requires a born-again believer. You and I are to preach the word where we go. We're not supposed to just hang out in church and go get fed and do nothing about it. Every one of us should know how to lead somebody to Jesus. And if you look for the opportunity, I guarantee you'll find it at Wendy's, at Walmart, at the gas station, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, whatever you do. They preached the word wherever they went when they were scattered. See, the believers were proactive, big word, proactive in sharing the gospel despite being displaced and despite being disadvantaged. Persecution didn't silence them. In fact, not only did it not silence them, it propelled them in their witness. Every single time I've seen that happen. See, this reflects the resilience and the peace that comes from a faithful commitment to our Lord, knowing that opposition can serve God's purpose. God is always using opposition, and God is always using even those who don't know him to accomplish his will. Always. See, rather than allowing challenge to stifle our faith, we can view these things as opportunities to testify and to share about Christ in diverse ways and in diverse places. That is so neat. See, God can use persecution and opposition to expand his church and to spread the gospel. It has happened every single time throughout history. So what can we do? How about this week we identify one challenge or one difficulty that we're currently facing and take the time to pray and ask God how he might use this situation to advance his kingdom through us. We need to seek his guidance, you know, on how we can effectively and actively share our faith in this context. And folks, I'm not saying that you go out there and get yourself in trouble. I'm not saying you go out there with your gigantic bullhorn and your sandwich boards and get out there and do those. Hey, man, if you want to do that and that's where you feel comfortable, go ahead. I'm not saying don't do it. But you know what? Most of the time, in general conversation, you can steer a conversation in the direction of the Lord. And you know what else is really neat? It's taking the opportunity to praise the Lord for the things he's done in your life to those that you're sharing with. You know, when you sit back and say, hey, good morning. Isn't it a beautiful day? Didn't God paint a wonderful scene in the eastern sky at sunrise? And somebody says, well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't say it. Well, you know what? I'm a blessed person today, blessed beyond anything that I could ever imagine. Hey, let me tell you what the Lord's done in my life. And some of y'all are sitting there going, well, that don't sound like the faith program or witnessing without fear or any of those. No, it doesn't. It don't necessarily sound like the Romans Road either, but let me tell you what it does. It is you telling your story. That's important. You know why? Remember, the old cop in me is coming out. If I have to go to court and I get in that little box, what am I getting ready to do? I'm getting ready to testify. Guess what I testify to? Only the things that I have personally seen and I have personally heard. You see, if I get up in that little box and they say, well, you tell me how this went down. And I say, well, Mark told me, the attorney's going to go, objection, Your Honor, that is hearsay. You see, if somebody's going to testify to it, it has to be Mark, not me. See, I can't testify for your experience with Jesus, and you can't testify to mine. You can only be a, ready for this, witness to the things that the Lord has done in your life, the things that the Lord has done for you. It makes it your story. It makes it personal. And guess what? When you share your story, God will have you right in place for the people who need to hear your story. And you know what's interesting? They may not need to hear my story. They may need to hear your story. And how cool is that? By the way, it's a little pressure pack too. You know why? Because there are some people that can only be reached with the gospel message by you. You can sit there and say, well, let me take you down there to see Pastor Roy. And I'll be happy to talk to him, but I will promise you, you could lead him to the Lord quicker than I could. You just got to get a little courage. Just brag on Jesus and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Because eventually, after you're doing that, you say, you've been bragging on this Jesus a lot. I sure would like to have him. Ooh, what an opportunity. Well, you can. Let me tell you how you can trust him. Then you can say, let me drag you down to the pastor because we're going to get you in some discipleship so you can grow in your grace and grow in your faith and grow in your strength. And when you come down and say, well, Herbert here accepted Jesus and we're tickled for him. He wants to be baptized. And I say, good, let's get you in a discipleship group. And then I'm going to ask you that brought him here, what discipleship group are you in? Don't you tell me none. By the way, Sunday school's discipleship. So's D-Life. So's Sunday night services, Bible study. Don't tell me you ain't in one. Okay, go ahead and tell me you're not in one. Because you're going to have to get in one. You know why? Because you're going to lead them down the path that you're going. And I will promise you great victory will ensue. I promise. If we'll only take that chance. Persecution is getting more widespread toward Christian people today. Think about what you would do this week. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about Saul, and we're going to talk about the change in him. But for right now, let's consider where we are. Are we really being persecuted for what we believe? Listen, we should have the biggest platform out there. Ain't nobody out here going to arrest me when I'm done. I'd probably go with them anyway. I don't want to fight them. If it's the law, I'll be good to them because they're going to let me go anyway. They have nothing to hold me on. And if they don't, hey, meanwhile, while I'm sitting down there, somebody needs to hear about Jesus. That's the way I'm going to look at it. I got a good model, Paul and Silas. That's what they did. And their backs were bleeding. Mine's not. What are we going to do? So I'm asking you this. Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our invitation hymn. First of all, have you trusted Jesus? You cannot have that kind of faith. You will not be willing and ready to die for something you don't know. Do you know Jesus? Have you trusted him? Have you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And you're it. Come into my life and save my soul. Listen, if that's you, whether you're here, whether you're online, wherever you are, I want you to pause for just a moment, stop what you're doing, and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me through Jesus. Amen. And I'll promise if you meant that, that was the cry that put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's not it. I mean, you'll get to heaven, but the Lord says, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to get to know you. I want to share life with you. Let us disciple you. Listen, if you trusted Christ, please let us know. If you're online, let Dr. John know. He'll let me know. We'll get together, and I promise it won't be boring. If it's boring, I'm not doing it right, okay? We'll have some great old time. We'll have a cup of coffee. We'll sit down and talk. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'll let you know what it's like to walk with Jesus because I love telling people about that. Maybe you're here today and you haven't thought about it. Maybe today was the first time in your life that if somebody walked through that door with a machine gun and pointed it at you, that maybe you thought about what your answer would be. More persecution is going to come, and it's not just going to be the kind that says, I'm going to hurt your feelings. It's coming. How will you stand in that day? Maybe today's the day you need to draw the line in the sand and say, Lord, by your grace and by your strength, I will stand firm no matter what. And if I see you, I see you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's what we're aiming for. May we aim for heaven, not just through death's door, but may we aim for it in every day of our lives as we brag about Jesus. This old altar's here if you need it. I am here if you need me. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 312, and Brad leads us, you do business with God.
See you.
As your head's bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to do business with God, do not let the moment of the Spirit speaking to you get by with what He's telling you. Don't just brush it off. Deal with it. Deal with it today that you may be right with Him no matter what. That when you walk out these doors, you can say, it is well with my soul. As you continue to do business with our Father, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down at this time as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. And I'm going to ask our serving deacons if they would make their way down to the front row. Father, we thank You again for the way that You provide for us in so many ways. And Lord, we come to this time that as we worship You by giving to You the tithe and the offering, Lord, we think about what we need to do through our church. We think about the ministries that are financed and, Lord, the faithfulness that You require us to have. Lord, we think about this mission trip that is coming up that has a very aggressive budget. But Father, if You've led us to an aggressive budget, then You have led those hearts to give in regard to it. So Lord, we pray right now that You truly would bless the gift and the giver of this offering as only You can. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. And as we come to this time, this is the time when we gather around the Lord's table. And, you know, we were just talking about persecution. And we were just talking about what it is that people go through. They don't go through things like that for something that they don't believe wholeheartedly in. And as we come around the Lord's table today, we think about what it must have been like that evening that Jesus was with His disciples. And He was trying to explain to them what was going on and what was taking place through His death, His burial, and His resurrection that would bring eternal life to all. But it gets even more personal because He was trying to share with those disciples how we participate in that. And you notice that when we talk about the bread and we talk about the cup, we talk about the representation of the body and the blood of Christ. That is what our salvation is really all about, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sin and how His body was broken for us. Today I pray that as we spend these moments around the Lord's table and as we reflect upon our lives, the Lord said, but let a man examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And may this time around the Lord's table hold a very near, dear, and special meaning to each and every one of us. May it be courage to go forward even in the face of persecution. May we look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we examine our lives before Him. Our Father, what a great place it is in the midst of the quiet in Your presence. Lord, today we come before Your table. Lord, we confess that we realize what it took to purchase the salvation of mankind, past, present, and future. But Lord, we come to You grateful that the shedding of Jesus' blood covers every sin ever committed, past, present, or future. So Lord, today, may we view Your table differently than we ever have. May we be drawn close to You. Because Lord, it's so special that You have a place at the table for us, labeled just for us. Today we sit in that place and honor You. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother David, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to You now at this time of worship, thanking You for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, as we partake in this communion service, we just ask that You bless all who may partake of this and ask us to be more closely following You in our daily lives. In Christ's name we pray.
As he had his disciples gathered together, and it says that he gave thanks. Critical point. He gave thanks for the bread. And then he broke it. He passed it out to his disciples, and he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. You ask the blessing upon the cup.
Father God, we just thank you for this time, Father, as we celebrate or come together for the communion. Father, as your word tells us, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Father, thank you for what we could not do by ourselves. Amen. You gave your son Jesus in our stead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Word tells us, in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup and he said to his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood." I always like to point out, no more animal sacrifices over and over and over again. Jesus was the perfect once for one and all sacrifice. So he told his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Word says, for as oft as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. What a great time around the Lord's table. Let me give you a couple quick announcements, and then we'll get you on out of here. I'm going to make sure I go in order, because if I don't, I'll completely miss something. As I do that, I want to say a very special thank you, because oftentimes people don't see what goes on behind the scenes. And I have just I just want Phyllis Anders to know, and I know she'll probably kill me for saying this, but I love you and I appreciate what you do and her team that set up communion in a way that it is meaningful to each and every one of you guys. They work hard on that. I mean, that bread that we had was done. That's not something that was bought. You can tell wasn't like styrofoam this time, but Phyllis, because Phyllis hadn't made it before. They were working on, what's that?
I would have to say that Tammy made that, and we're so appreciative of it.
Absolutely, and I was getting there. If not just Phyllis, but her team is David and Tammy, as well as Diane Bloxham. I didn't leave anybody out, did I?
Nancy Tuttle.
And Nancy Tuttle. I don't want to leave anybody out, because these ladies work so hard that you have a wonderful worship experience. And I'm grateful for that. I just want you to know, thank you, Tammy, for spending that time to bake that bread, to make a worshipful experience for Central Baptist Church today. I don't want that to go unnoticed. I know you didn't do it for that reason by any stretch, but I think it's important to know the hard work that people put in to make a very special time for us in worship. So thank each and every one of you for your hard work and consistent dedication. Okay, don't throw anything at me. I know you get mad at me, but I wanted to mention that just so that we know what we got going on today. We do have some birthdays. Matter of fact, Diane Bloxham's birthday is today. So if you get a chance, you know, give her a call, send her a text. I know she's going through those treatments and everything right now. I know it would mean a lot for her to hear from you. And if you're watching, happy birthday, Diane. This coming Tuesday, Nancy Tuttle is this coming Tuesday. She's got a birthday coming up. And then as far as anniversaries, on Tuesday, Vivian and Gary Wells will celebrate their anniversary together. So those are the special things going on for this week. I want to go ahead and mention my D-Life group, my discipleship group, will not be meeting today, because we're meeting with Steve's group tomorrow to see The Forge. And that's going to start at 5:30. So 5:30, guys, and we'll look forward to seeing you there at 5:30 tomorrow, Steve's D-Life group and mine as well. Choir practice, 4:45. On target today. Awana is at 5:30. Just remember, there's a new dismissal time. It's 5:30 to 6:30 now. So we will be having Awana tonight. Tonight, we will not be having adult Bible study. David and Donna are still in the healing process, and they want to make sure they don't get anybody the heebie-jeebies that they've been fighting for a while. So we will not have adult Bible study tonight. I do want to remind you, though, funeral home visitation for John Willard is tonight from 6 to 8 o'clock at Hayworth Miller Funeral Home. That funeral will be tomorrow on Monday at 2 o'clock, also at the funeral home. So just wanted to, some of you all remember, because you've been here for a long time, some of you don't, but Joanne was our secretary all the way up until Debbie, and John was here faithfully, every Sunday right back there till he became sick and shut in. So we want to remember that family in our prayers. That funeral service, once again, visitation tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, Hayworth Miller Funeral Home. Funeral tomorrow, also at Hayworth Miller at 2 o'clock p.m. I do have band rehearsal on for tonight. Yep, band rehearsal tonight at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions, you can see Jim Kreider over there. There is listed a building and grounds meeting tomorrow at 4:30. And then, of course, like I mentioned before, our two D groups are going to be meeting together tomorrow evening, the D-Life groups. As a reminder, just to put it out there, every second Friday at 8:30 a.m., there is a veterans breakfast. If you're a veteran, you can go by Bethel Methodist Church on Hall River Road every second Friday at 8:30 and get yourself a free breakfast and rub elbows with some of your compadres from the military days. Ladies Connections meeting, next one is the 5th, March 5th at 4 o'clock p.m., and then the next Ladies Monthly Breakfast, it was going to be on the 12th at 9 o'clock a.m. over at Cagney's on Friendly. I'm sure I've probably forgotten to announce. Oh, thank you, Bill. Bill's waving money at me. I was sitting there going, hey, I thought I was going to get rocks thrown at me. Bill's waving money. Traditionally, one of the things that we do here at Central Baptist is when we have our communion service, you'll notice guys at the door, they're not there to shake you down or anything else, but we do have a couple of guys with offering plates. This is a benevolence offering. On your way out, if you feel so led to, you can contribute to the benevolence offering that helps needs of folks within our church when they're having rough times and suffering times, that the church can be there to help and to assist them for those times. So if you feel so led, you can drop a little something in any of those plates on the way out the door. We'll make sure that gets into the benevolence fund, okay? Don't forget, pray. The biggest thing we need as far as our Cuba mission trip is we need your prayers. I mean, we need your money, but we need your prayers too. That's more important because prayers, like I said, I can't really express in words how important it is that you pray for us to be able to, safety, health, that we would see God's hand work, that we would see God's hand move, and that we would be exactly where he wants us to be when we need to be there. So what a blessing that really is. Have I forgotten anything that any of you all know about, but you're too shy to say it? Oh, thank you, David. Let's help Phyllis and her crew out. You know, that gigantic little cup you got, there's a trash can right there by that main door. If you would please help the ladies out so they don't have to crawl through these 30-foot-long pews, please take your cup with you. There's a garbage can right as you go out the door. You can drop it in there. That would be most helpful to our communion crew that serves you so graciously, okay? Anything else? All right, let me get you to stand. I know you've been sitting a while, and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer, and we'll see you at the appointed times. Father, you're good to us. Again, we're grateful and thankful that we can come into your house. We thank you for your love for each and every one of us. And Lord, the special time that we've just had coming around your table. Lord, I pray that as we go away from here, we will do so different, that we will go away from here strengthened, realizing that as we follow you, persecution will follow as well. Lord, may we truly just be everything you want us to be. Give us strength, give us courage as only you can. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us as we're absent one from another until we have the opportunity to come back and worship together again. And we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Y'all have a great day.